Hi, everybody. What's up? It is me, Dangerous ASMR, and not like somebody else. It's still me. However, we have all plunged into the dystopian hell of 2020. So I hope you're all prepared for the eventual overtaking by our robot overlords. I know I certainly am. I cannot wait to have the robots tell me, you know, what to do, because that sounds easy, comfortable, you know? Anyway, it is now 2020, so I guess this makes it like the first ever post in 2020. That just means if this is my first post of the new year, it's all good from here. Like, it can't get any worse, she said optimistically. Okay, so, yeah, first post of 2020. I really need to clean this place up. And I thought, why mess with a good thing? I really want to read some more stupid fairy tales, and I'm recording this on New Year's Eve, and I certainly don't want to have to actually take the time to find something unique, because that sounds like a lot of work. So let's just do what we're used to, right? Okay, so if I'm incorrect, please forgive me, but I am starting where we last left off, which was with the tailor that killed the unicorn. Remember that? And this is actually a really, really short story after this, because apparently that was like part of like three short stories within a short story, I guess. But I only read like the first two. I didn't read the last one, which is kind of short, so I feel dumb, but whatever. That was a totally unnecessary story. Uh-huh. Okay. One summer morning, a little tailor was sitting at his table by his window. Just then, a peasant woman came down the street and cried out, "Good jam for sale! Good jam for sale!" The tailor stuck his head out the window and called,
"Up here, my dear woman. You're sure to make a good sale with me."
When the woman came up, he inspected each of the jars and finally bought a quarter of a pound. Afterward, he fetched a loaf of bread, cut a full slice for himself, spread it with the jam, and placed it on the table next to him.
"You'll taste good," he said to himself, "but first I want to finish the jacket before I take a bite."
So he began to sew and made big stitches out of joy. Meanwhile, the smell of the sweet jam rose to the flies, and a lot of them flew and landed on the jam.
"Hey, who invited you as guests?"
the little tailor said, and chased them away. But it didn't take long for the flies to come back in even larger numbers. They'll be back in even greater numbers. Okay. My little tailor became angry, and he grabbed a piece of cloth from under his work table.
"Wait, I'll let you have it!"
And he whacked them. When he withdrew the cloth, he counted to see how many flies he had hit, and there were 29 dead ones before his eyes.
"You're quite a man," he said to himself.
I mean, I kind of admire that kind of self-esteem, where you're just like, you think you fucking accomplished something, bitch? I killed 29 fucking flies with my bare hands. And my bear is in, there's nothing on them, not as if they belong to a bear, because that would kill more than 29. I need to say that to myself from now on when I'm proud. I need to just go,
"You're quite a man, Dangerous."
I don't know. Guy seems happy. Happy with his life. Oh, no. It's the same thing like before with the guy who killed the flies. Is this common where people... Like, listen, okay? He was so delighted with himself, he cut out a belt and embroidered it with 29 with one stroke. Is this a common theme? Why would anybody believe it? Clearly everyone is just killing flies and saying it's the number of men they killed. I wouldn't believe it anymore. And I just wouldn't believe it. So don't try that on me, mister, because it's not fucking working. Okay,
"Now you have to go out into the world," he thought.
And so he tied the belt around him and searched his house for something to take with him. But he found only a piece of old cheese, which he put in his pocket. God, that sounds so unhygienic. And as he set out on his way, he caught a bird and also stuck it into his pocket. Did he even kill the bird? Or did you just have, like, a live bird jammed in your pocket? It sounds painful. Oh, no. That thing's gonna peck the fuck out of your thigh. Enjoy. Enjoy your live bird in your pocket. But that bird's gonna eat your cheese and you fucking deserve it. I hope that bird eats your cheese and half the meat off your thigh, you stupid fuck. His way led him up a high mountain, and when he reached the peak, he came across a huge giant who was sitting there, and he said,
"How are you, my good fellow? You're gazing at the world, right? Well, I happen to be on my way into the world."
God. The giant looked at the tailor contemptuously and said,
"You're a miserable..."
Wait, why does he sound identical? Fuck. Okay, wait. "You're a miserable creature." That's the giant, okay? I can't do more than one, like, big man voice. Go ahead. Laugh in my range. Ah ha ha ha. Ah ha ha. It's sad, okay? And my man voice doesn't even sound like a man. It sounds like a mentally ill woman, which I very well might be. That's all my voices, though. Where was I? Oh, yeah. The giant. "You're a miserable creature." The little tailor responded by opening his coat to show the giant his belt. Yeah, his belt. I bet he's going to go show the giant his big belt, and he's going to belt shame the giant, be like,
"Yeah, you want to say that I'm a miserable creature? Look at this big dick."
And he just, like, slams it on the ground with force. The giant's like, "Holy cow, mister, that's a big old dick." That's probably, I mean, but it was his belt. So he's going to show, we know what he's showing the giant. Oh, I hate this stupid tailor. The little tailor responded by flashing the giant his belt and said,
"You can read for yourself what kind of man you have standing before you."
Again, he should have just had a shirt that said, like, "I will kill you for being a jerk." It's the same thing. All I would think is you're crazy because you had a shirt made or a belt etched to say about how many people you killed. That's an intense amount of dedication. The giant read the words 29 with one stroke and thought that it meant the tailor had slain 29 men because he's really stupid. Therefore, he began to show some respect for the little tailor. God, he's gullible as fuck. Oh my God. Okay. Nevertheless, he wanted to test him first. So he took a stone in his hand and squeezed it until water began to drip from it.
"You're not as strong as that."
"I can do that as well,"
the little tailor said,
"if that's all you have to show."
He immediately reached into his pocket, took out the soft cheese, and squeezed it until the liquid ran out.
"That beats yours, doesn't it?"
the tailor declared. What if he'd squeezed the bird? And he was like, "Look at this blood I got out of this stone." But at least it wasn't the bird. But I bet if the bird had been a tiny unicorn, he would have smashed that unicorn. Apparently, they are enemy number one in these fairy tales. I don't know why that is. I mean, jealousy, maybe? Maybe unicorns really are dicks, you know? Although narwhals are kind of awesome and they have the horn going on, so I can't imagine if they're at all related, you know, like horn-related. But, you know, fantasy science, what are you going to do? Fantasy biology, right? Yeah. Fantasy DNA. And if it's fantasy DNA, the question is, shut up. I said so. That's why. That's the reason. And all these fairy tales. Okay, so he squeezed cheese for some reason. The giant was puzzled. Oh, God, this is so dumb. The giant was puzzled, and he picked up a stone and threw it so high that it could barely be seen with the naked eye.
"Now you do the same."
"That was a good throw," said the tailor. "But even so, the stone had to return to the ground in the end. Now I'm going to throw one that won't ever come back."
He reached into his pocket, took out the bird, threw it into the air, and the bird flew away for good.
"How did you like that?"
The giant was astounded. So he decided to join him, and they continued walking together as they came to a cherry tree. The giant seized the top where the fruit was ripest. He bent it down, handed it to the tailor, and told him to eat some of the fruit. But the little tailor was much too weak to hold on to the treetop, and when the giant let go of it, the tailor was catapulted into the air. After he had come down again unharmed, the giant said,
"What's this? Don't tell me you're not strong enough to hold on to that twig."
That's nothing,
the tailor responded.
Do you think that something like that is really difficult for a man who slain 29 with one stroke? Do you know why I did that? I jumped over the tree because some huntsmen were shooting there in the bushes. Let's see if you could jump over it yourself.
Now the giant believed for sure that there was nobody in the world who could surpass the little tailor in strength and cunning. And then afterward it says the rest of this tale is missing. That sounds like a great way to end my series. When I don't feel like it, I'll just be like, you know, chapter 12. The rest of this tale is missing. And then just be like, oh shit, you guys, it was missing. Oh man. Well, I guess we'll never know how it ended. You know, that could work for pissing people off. Okay, this next one you guys have probably heard of. It's pretty amazing. It's Cinderella. We're gonna read Cinderella. The much more violent version. I like it. Cinderella. Once upon a time, there was a rich man who lived happily with his wife for a long time, and they had one little girl together. Then the wife became ill, and as she became deathly ill, she called her daughter and said, "Dear child, I must leave you." But when her brain is dying. Okay, give her a break. Okay, no. No, we are reading this story and I'm doing it beautifully. It's not The Grudge, I swear.
Dear child, I must leave you, but when I am up in heaven, I shall look after you. Plant a little tree on my grave, and whenever you wish for something, shake it, and you'll have what you wish. And whenever you are otherwise in a predicament, then I'll send you help. Just stay good and pure.
Wait a minute. Pure? That is some ghostly fucking virginity blackmail bullshit. God fucking damn, Mom. Like, you have to be a cock block from beyond the grave? Jesus Christ. Fuck you. That's so fucked. You'll have whatever wish you want, as long as you're not a whore. Don't be a whore. You know? I mean, that's kind of how I imagine her talking now. She'd be like, "Dear child, I must leave you. When I'm up in heaven, I shall look after you. Plant a little tree on my grave. And whenever you wish for something, shake it. And you'll have what you wish. And whenever you're otherwise in a predicament, then I'll send you help. Just stay good and pure. Don't be a whore." That was how her voice should have gone. Fucking bitches. Okay. After she said this, she closed her eyes and died. Oh, so she had like a Hollywood-style death. Like nobody else. Like you're literally about to die and you can think of saying something like that that eloquently? I doubt it. I guess she was just propelled to live by her hatred of her daughter's sexuality. Just kind of pushed her forward to get that message out. That ghostly curse. She's like, I can't die before I curse you. Sorry, I don't know if that's offensive or not. Everything's so PC, I don't want to offend anybody. God damn it. Fucking hell. Oh, right. I thought it was doors, but I'm pretty sure that's fireworks. Okay. Her child wept and planted a little tree on her grave and didn't need to water it, for her tears were good enough. My lord, she must be dehydrated. Or maybe she's stupid and it wasn't a tree, it was a cactus. The snow covered the mother's grave like a little white blanket, and by the time the sun had taken it off again and the little tree had become green for the second time, the man had married a second wife. However, the stepmother already had two daughters from her first husband. They had beautiful features, but proud, nasty, and wicked hearts. You know, that's not how Disney portrayed it. I really hope that everything else is portrayed accurately, or I will be very upset. I'll be so upset I have to blow my Santa rape whistle. and have St. Nicholas save me.
He's such a good person.
I mean, theoretically. I haven't blown the whistle yet because it's really hard to decide, like, is this... You know, well, here's my question. How many people are you allowed to kill with the Santa rape whistle? Because he didn't seem like he was going to ask any questions before he killed the people in that one story. If you didn't listen to my Christmas special, you're missing out. It was awesome. And not very Christmassy. So, like, do you think that it's like a genie where you have, like, three wishes, like, three kills? Is it an endless amount of people that Santa will assassinate? Will he start asking questions? Will he start being like, hey, wait a minute, this is fishy. I have so many questions about how that whistle works. Is it just for children? Do you hit like 18 and someone's going to stab you when you blow on the whistle and Santa's like, fuck you, bitch. You're a grown-ass adult now. Figure your own shit out, you know? Like, guns are legal where you live, you stupid hoe. Why don't you have your gun? I gave you one last Christmas. Santa. Oh, Santa. Oh, right. So apparently... The sisters, the stepsisters, were hot. After the wedding had been celebrated and all three entered the house, a difficult time began for the poor child.
"What's this terrible and useless thing doing in our rooms?"
the stepmother said.
"Off with you into the kitchen. Whoever wants to eat bread must earn it. She can be our maid."
The stepsisters took away her clothes and dressed her in an old gray smock. "You look good in that," they said. "See, I'm going to make them nicer. I'm going to just change it. I'm going to change the intonation. You look good in that," they said, while mocking her and leading her to the kitchen, where the poor child had to do heavy work. She had to get up before dawn, carry the water into the house, make the fire, cook, and wash. Meanwhile, her sister did everything imaginable to cause her grief and to make her look ridiculous. They poured peas and lentils into the ashes of the hearth, so she had to sit there the entire day and separate them. In the evening, when she was tired, there was no bed for her, and she had to sleep with them and service them throughout the night. And she started to like it. She really started to enjoy herself till she was addicted and she couldn't get enough. That would be a hot role play. Fucking hot. Taming Cinderella. I would fucking listen to the shit out of that. Let me know if you don't actually want to hear that audio in the comments below, and I will totally do it. I'll totally do Taming Cinderella. Fucking hot. Okay. Hot evil stepsisters tame Cinderella because they use her as her little, like, play toy. That's hot. Don't tell me it's not. If you don't think it is, you're wrong. You are incredibly wrong. I would make a good, wicked stepsister. Oh my god, Cinderella, like... Eat my pussy better. Like, seriously, you're not even trying. Oh my god, I'm gonna tell your dad. Ew, no. Just never mind. I'm not gonna do that audio. Because that... You're my man voice.
Daughter, I'm very disappointed. I'm going to have to make love to you now against your will.
Oh, shit, that's so dumb. But that's the quality content you can expect with Dangerous ASMR. Stupidity multiple times a week for your listening entertainment. Okay, right, okay. So, there was no bed for her, and she had to lie next to the hearth in the ashes. Since she always rummaged in dust and looked dirty, they named her Cinderella. At a certain time, the king decided to organize a magnificent ball that was to last 3 days, and his son was supposed to choose a bride at this event. The two proud stepsisters were also invited to it. Cinderella, they called out to her. Come up here. Comb our hair. Brush our shoes and fasten our buckles. We're going to see the prince at the ball. That was as nice as I could make it sound. Cinderella worked hard and cleaned and brushed as well as she could. However, the stepsisters continually scolded her, and when they had finished dressing, they asked her in a mocking tone, "Cinderella, wouldn't you like to go to the ball?"
"Oh, yes,"
Cinderella replied.
But how can I go? I don't have any clothes.
No, said the eldest daughter. That's all we'd need for you to show up there. If the people heard you are a sister, we'd be ashamed. You belong in the kitchen, where there's a bowl full of lentils. We don't believe that. We don't believe a single word we're saying. When we return, they must be sorted. And take care that we don't find a bad one among them. Otherwise, you know what will happen to you.
Okay, I don't think I managed to save that one. That sounded really threatening. In fact, it sounded worse because they sounded like so happy and cheerful. You know what'll happen to you if you mess up, don't you?
Oh, I'm definitely going to disembowel you, sister. You look so pretty on the inside.
Oh, that's for the other Cinderella stepsister audio. She was dressed in gray on the outside, but she was pink on the inside. Okay, that was inappropriate.
After the stepsisters left and Cinderella stood there and looked after them, and when she could no longer see them, she went sadly into the kitchen and shook the lentils onto the hearth, and they formed a very large pile.
Oh,
she sighed, and she sighed and said,
I'll have to sort them until midnight, and I won't be able to shut my eyes no matter how much they may hurt. If my mother knew about this.
God, her voice is gorgeous. Then she knelt down in the ashes in front of the hearth and wanted to begin sorting. All at once, two white pigeons flew through the window and landed next to the lentils on the hearth. They nodded with their little heads and said, Cinderella, would you like us to help you sort the lentils?
Yes,
answered Cinderella.
The good ones for the little pot, the bad ones for your little crop.
And peck, 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 peck. They began and ate the bad ones and let the good ones remain. That's a lot of fireworks. And in a quarter of an hour, the lentils were so clean that there was not a bad one among them, and Cinderella could smooth them out in the little pot. Now the pigeons said to her, Cinderella, if you want to see your sisters dance with the prince, then climb up to the pigeon coop. Cinderella followed them and climbed at the top of the ladder of the pigeon coop and could see the ballroom from there. Indeed, she could see her sisters dance with the prince, and a thousand chandeliers glittered and glistened before her eyes. And after she had seen enough, she climbed down the ladder. Her heart was heavy, and she laid herself down in the ashes and fell asleep. The next morning, the two sisters went into the kitchen. And when they saw that Cinderella had cleanly sorted the lentils, they were angry because they would have liked to have scolded her. Since they couldn't do that, they began to tell her about the ball and said,
Cinderella, that was so much fun, especially the dance. The prince, who's the most handsome in the world, led us out onto the dance floor, and then one of us will become his bride.
Yes,
Cinderella said.
I saw the chandeliers glimmer. That must have blend. That must have blend splendid.
What? How did you manage that? The older sister asked.
I climbed up the pigeon coop.
When the sister heard this, she was filled with jealousy, and she immediately ordered the pigeon coop to be torn down.
Why would she be jealous?
Now Cinderella had to comb and clean again, and the youngest sister, who had a little sympathy in her heart, said, Cinderella, when it turns dark, you can go to the ball and look in through the windows.
No.
No,
said the eldest.
No,
said the eldest. I don't know what's going on.
That will only make her lazy. Here's a sack of sweet peas, Cinderella. Sort the good from the bad and work hard. If you don't have them sorted cleanly by tomorrow, then I'll spill them into the ashes, and you'll have to starve until you fish them out of the ashes.
There's no saving her. I can't. She's horrible. I thought for a second she was going to say, like, then I guess you'll starve. At least it was a little better.
Cinderella sat down on the hearth in distress and poured the peas out of the sack. Then the pigeons flew into the kitchen once again and asked in a friendly way, Cinderella, do you want us to sort the peas?
Yes. The good ones for the little pot, the bad ones for your little crop.
Peck, peck. A peckety peck. It all went so quickly, as if 12 hands were there. And when they were finished, the pigeon said, Cinderella, how do you want to... Do you want to go and dance at the ball?
Oh, my God!
She cried out.
But how can I go there in my dirty clothes?
Go to the little tree on your mother's grave. Shake it and wish for clothes. However, you must return before midnight. So Cinderella went to the grave, shook the little tree, and unfortunately she spoke.
Shake and wobble, little tree. Let beautiful clothes fall down to me.
No sooner had she said all this than a splendid dress lay right before her along with pearls, silk stockings, silver slippers, and everything else that belonged to the outfit. Cinderella carried herself into the house, and after she had washed herself and dressed herself, she was as beautiful as a rose washed by the dew.
That tells me that she rarely washes herself.
And when she stepped outside, a carriage stood there drawn by 6 black horses adorned with feathers. There were also servants dressed in blue and silver who helped her inside. Then off they galloped to the king's castle. When the prince saw the carriage come to a halt before the gate,
Thanks, person for driving.
He thought that a strange prince from afar had come traveling to the ball. So he himself went down the stairs, helped Cinderella out of the carriage, and led her into the ballroom. And when the glitter of 4,000 chandeliers fell upon her, she was so beautiful that everyone there was amazed. And the sisters also stood there and were annoyed that some other young lady was more beautiful than they. However, they didn't think in the least that it might be Cinderella, who was presumably at home in the ashes. Now the prince danced with Cinderella and showed her royal honor. As he danced, he thought to himself,
I'm supposed to choose a bride, and I know she's the only one for me.
On the other hand, Cinderella had lived for such a long time in ashes and sadness.
Ashes and sadness, that's her, like, emo band, right?
She'd lived so long in ashes and sadness, and now she was in splendor and joy. But when midnight came, before the clock struck 12, she stood up and bowed good night. Even though the prince begged and begged, she refused to remain any longer. So the prince led her down the stairs. The carriage was below and waiting for her, and it drove off in splendor as it had come. When Cinderella arrived home, she went once again to the little tree on her mother's grave.
Shake and wobble, little tree. Take these clothes back from me.
I think I broke the microphone.
Then the tree took the clothes, and Cinderella had her gray smock on again. And she returned to the kitchen with it, put some dust on her face, and lay herself down to sleep. In the morning, the sisters came. They looked morose and kept quiet. Then Cinderella said,
You must have had an enjoyable time last night.
No, a princess was there, and the prince almost always danced with her.
Nobody had ever seen her or knew where she came from.
Was it perhaps that lady who arrived in the splendid carriage pulled by 6 black horses?
Okay, way to humble brag, bitch, Cinderella asked.
How do you know this?
As I was standing in the entrance to the house, I saw her drive by.
Drive? They say drive? In the future, stay inside working, said the eldest sister, eldest sociopath, who looked angrily at Cinderella. What business do you have to stand in the entrance to the house?
For a third time, Cinderella had to dress up the two sisters, and as a reward, they gave her a bowl with peas that she was to sort.
And don't you dare to leave your work, the eldest daughter cried out to her.
Cinderella thought,
If only my pigeons will return.
And her heart beat anxiously until the pigeons came as they had the previous night and said, Cinderella, do you want us to sort the peas?
Yes. Good ones for the little pot, the bad ones for your little crop.
Once more the pigeons pecked at the bad ones, and once they were finished, they said, Cinderella, shake the little tree. It will throw down even more beautiful clothes. Go to the ball, but take care that you return before midnight. Cinderella went to her mother's grave.
Shake and wobble, little tree. Let beautiful clothes fall down to me.
Then a dress fell down, and it was even more glorious and splendid than the previous one. It was made out of gold and precious gems. In addition, there were golden gusseted stockings and gold slippers. Donald Trump made that dress. And after Cinderella was completely dressed, she glistened really like the sun at midday, like really, really. A carriage drawn by 6 white horses that had plumes on their heads stopped in front of the house, and the servants were dressed in red and gold. When Cinderella arrived, the prince was already on the stairs and led her into the ballroom. And if everyone had been astonished by her beauty the day before, they were even more astounded this evening, and the sisters stood in a corner and were pale with envy. If they had known that it was Cinderella who was supposed to be at home in the ashes, they would have died of envy. Now the prince wanted to know who the strange princess was, where she came from, and where she drove off to. So he had people stationed on the road, and they were to pay attention to her whereabouts. Moreover, he had the stairs painted with black pitch so that she wouldn't be able to run so fast. Cinderella danced and danced with the prince and was filled with so much joy that she didn't think about midnight. All of a sudden, as she was in the middle of a dance, she heard the clock begin to strike. She was reminded of the pigeon's warning and was terrified, so she rushed to the door and flew down the stairs. However, since they were covered with pitch, one of her golden slippers got caught, and Cinderella didn't stop to take it with her out of fear. Indeed, just as she reached the last step of the stairs, the clock struck 12. Consequently, the carriage and horses disappeared, and Cinderella stood in her gray smock on the dark road. In the meantime, the prince had... The prince had rushed after her, and he found the golden slipper on the steps. He pulled it from the pitch and carried it with him, but by the time he made it down the stairs, everything had disappeared. Even the people who had stood guard came and said they had seen nothing. Cinderella was glad that nothing worse had happened, and she went home. Once there, she turned on her dim oil lamp, hung it in the chimney, and laid herself down in the ashes. It didn't take long before the two sisters also returned and called out, "Cinderella, get up and lead the way." Cinderella yawned and pretended that she had been wakened from her sleep. As she showed them the way, she heard one of the sisters say, "God knows who this presumable princess is. If she were only in her grave. The prince danced with her and her alone, and after she'd gone, he didn't want to remain, and the entire ball came to an end." "It was really as if all the lights had suddenly been blown out," the other said. Meanwhile, the prince was thinking,
If everything had gone wrong for you, now the slipper will help you find your bride."
So he had a proclamation announced and declared that whichever maiden's foot fit the golden slipper was to become his wife. But the slipper was much too small for anyone who tried it on.
"I feel you. Size 10 feet, I feel you."
Indeed, many couldn't even slip their foot into the slipper, and couldn't have done so even if a single slipper were two. Finally, it was the turn of the two sisters to take the test. They were glad because they had small, beautiful feet.
"Okay, way to foot size shame. Some of us can't help having boats. We also have giant bodies, and the boats help balance our giant bodies so we can stand upright. Okay, please do not large foot shame. Goddamn, beautiful small feet. Fetishizing. I'm offended because I do not fall into the attractive range in that fetish." That's so loud.
They were glad because they had small, beautiful feet and believed that it couldn't go wrong for them and that the prince should have gone to them right away. "Listen," said the mother secretly. That's the mother's voice now, don't ask. "Here's a knife, and if the slipper is still too tight for you, then cut off a piece of your foot. It will hurt a bit. But what does that matter? It will soon pass, and one of you will become queen."
"I don't care how bitchy these stepsisters are. Can you really blame them? That's their mom. They're like, hey, Mom, eligible prince coming to town. And she's like, cut off parts of your feet to please the gods. Okay. I don't blame them. Their upbringing was crazy. This woman says, cut off your feet. It'll hurt a bit. Are you fucking kidding me? You do it, Mom. So the eldest sister went into the chamber and tried on the slipper. Her toe slipped inside, but her heel was too large, so you know what happened. She took the knife and cut off a part of her heel. She just pretend your feet are unicorns. And until she could force her foot into the slipper. Then she went out of her chamber to the prince, and when he saw that she had the slipper on her foot, he said that she was to be his bride. Then he had her to his carriage and wanted to drive off. However, when he came to the gate, the pigeons were above and called out, looky, look, look, at the shoe that she took. There's blood all over. The shoe's too small. She's not the bride that you met at the ball. This must be talking animal world, or I'd be like, shit, someone slipped me something. Those pigeons are fucking talking. I'm paranoid. So I could be. It could be the start of my paranoid schizophrenia. Or someone slipped something to me. Or it's magical pigeon talk world. I don't even know anymore. The fairy tale logic doesn't hold in every story. Okay. The prince leaned over and saw that blood was spilling out of the slipper. And he realized that he had been deceived. So he brought the false bride back to the house. However, the mother said to her second daughter, take the slipper, and if it's too short for you, then cut off one of your toes. So the sister took the slipper into their chamber, and since her foot was too large, she bit her lips and cut off a large part of her toes. That's some dedication. Then she quickly slipped her foot into the slipper and came out of her chamber. God, can you imagine walking on that? Ow! Since the prince thought she was the right bride and didn't care to check for a second time to see if someone else had cut off their feet, apparently because they belong to a family that cuts off part of your feet, he didn't check. So I don't think you're going to last too long in your princehoodness, you know, execution, easy style with him. Okay, so the prince was stupid and he tried to bring her back. And however, when he came to the gate, the pigeons called out again, looky, look, look. At the shoe that she took, there's blood all over, and she's too small. She's not the bride you met at the ball. Needs to be singy, because I said so. The prince looked down and saw that the stockings of the bride were colored red and that her blood was streaming out of the slipper. So the prince brought her to the mother and said,
she too is not the right bride, but is there another daughter in your house?
He's an asshole. If I'm like, oh my God, you're the person that, first of all, he doesn't remember well enough to know her freaking face. They danced all like two nights in a row. How do you not know which of these people is your bride? Is the prince temporarily blind during these balls? I mean, unless every woman looks very similar. He's a foot fetishist, so he wasn't even looking at her face. He was just like, feet only. Maybe that's what he cares about most of all. But that's kind of offensive. Like, you didn't see my face for two nights. You're stuck by the foot, and you don't notice the blood streaming out. And here's the worst part. So someone like catfishes you, right? That's bad. You shouldn't catfish people. Now imagine someone catfishes you into thinking that they have small feet, because that's your thing, right? Like, let's assume you're super into small feet. And this person catfishes you like, yeah, I've got like really small feet. Like, we should meet up. And so you go there to meet up and you're like, damn, those are some small feet. But then you notice that there's blood like gushing out of their shoe. Then he brings her home and effectively says, hey, you got any other bitches here with small feet? Like really small feet, but not like cut off small feet. Like, he doesn't even mention, hey, part of her toes were amputated. You really need to have her see a doctor. This guy is a callous fuck. Do not. But you know, she wants the money, so I get it.
There's blood all over and the shoe's too small. She's not the bride you met at the ball.
The prince looked down and saw that the stockings of the bride were about. Is there another daughter in the house?
There's another daughter in the house? I don't remember these, but God damn it. It's been too long now and I can't remember.
They're all the same.
No, said the mother. There's just a nasty Cinderella. She sits below in the ashes. I'm sure the slipper won't fit her.
Why would you even mention him, you stupid bitch?
The mother didn't want to have her summoned, but the prince demanded that she do so, because
she can't complain. She brought her up. It's like saying to the cops and they're just like, oh, I'll just write you a warning. You're like, yeah, thank God you didn't find all the drugs in my glove box. There's no drugs there, though, so don't look. That's what she's saying. Oh, there's just a nasty old Cinderella. Oh, she's so mean. Oh, she's so attractive with her tiny little feet. Oh, don't go look at her. Come on, lady. You had to know what was going to happen. You secretly wanted it. Therefore, Cinderella was alerted, and when she heard that the prince was there, she washed her face and hands quickly so they were fresh and clean.
That's not all you gotta wash, girl.
When she entered the room, she curtsied. Then the prince handed her the golden slipper, which I hope he washed them out between women. That's a lot of blood in that slipper. I'm just saying, what if it acts as like a lubricant, too? You could just kind of slide your big foot in there because it's all lubricated with blood from the other desperate women.
He handed her the golden slipper and said, try it on. If it fits, you'll become my wife.
His voice changed all of a sudden. So Cinderella took the heavy shoe from her left foot and put this foot into the golden slipper. And after she pressed a bit, her foot fit as though the slipper had been made for her. And when she stood up, the prince looked at her face and recognized the beautiful princess once again and cried,
this is the right bride.
So wait a minute. He was so into the feet. This is the first time he looked at one of them in the face. Had anyone told him that that's probably the best way to go about it? To look at the face before anything else? He finally looks at her and he's like, oh shit. I should have looked up. Okay.
This is the right bride. Holy shit.
The stepmother and two haughty sisters were horrified and became pale. But the prince led Cinderella away. He helped her into the carriage, and as they drove off through the gate, the pigeons called out, looky, look, look, there's no blood at all. The golden shoe's a perfect fit. She's truly the bride you met at the ball. Yay, the end. That's weird. Those pigeons are way too invested for some reason. What do they even get out of it? They get shitty old bad lentils and bad peas? Dude, you're magic pigeons. I would give you so much better than bad lentils and peas. We have junk food now. Like, I will give you good Doritos and stuff. What are pigeons like? Whatever the fuck pigeons like. I'll give you that. Human blood you need to sacrifice? Come to me. I'm your lady. I'd love to shake a tree, get whatever I want out of it. Okay, well, this has already devolved into madness. Suitable for 2020. And, oh God, I want to be nice, but like, I'm afraid that because I'm not sober, it's going to sound really stupid. I mean, it probably would have sounded dumb anyway, but usually I'm more aware when it's sucking. I just wanted to say thank you to you guys for making 2019. Jesus fucking Christ. God damn it. I can never say a nice message. Those fucking fireworks. Okay. And a dog now. And now there's a dog. I'm going to try to make this sound heartfelt. Wait, that sounded like I'm lying. I'm not lying. I'm just trying. Fucking dog, shut up. New Year's resolution. Contain my rage so I don't kill that dog. And the people letting off fireworks. 2019 was really one of the coolest years of my life. And seriously, I have you guys to thank for that. I've been given like a ton of support. And without you, I couldn't have done nearly as many audios as I've done. I've been able to cut down work like significantly and really dedicate more time to making these. And it's the coolest fucking job. I have the coolest fucking job in the world. And that's thanks to you guys. So sincerely, not trying to sound, I am heartfelt when I say this. Which is what a liar would say, but I'm serious. It's really been amazing and the coolest thing and something I never thought I would get to do. Because, you know, if you ever start something and you see people that are successful in a way you want to be, and there's always that part of you that goes, yeah, but that's not me, that's other people. You know, like that's not what happens to me. That's what happens to those people over there. But like, holy shit, you guys have helped me become that kind of successful in this, that I never in a million fucking years imagined I would be. And to have as much support has just honestly been really touching. And I'm going to be too sappy. I don't think I can be, like, sexy if I'm too sappy. So I'm going to cut it here. Lest I start to seem like a human being. Do not make that mistake. Anyway, and it's getting really long, and I have to message that person back on Discord because they are. You know who you are. You're listening to this. You're going to ask me. You're going to say, hey, was it me? And I'm going to tell you if it was you. I'm going to fucking tell you. Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay, so this is running over anyway. Again, I say, thank you guys so much. And hey, holy shit, it's 2020. So happy new year, everybody. Let's make this one a fucking kick-ass one. I know we fucking can. We can. Fuck yeah, we can. Comment below if you're still here, because I'm sure most of you checked out at this point. If you have any resolutions, real ones, fake ones. Fake ones are always really good because, you know, tell me in the comments below. And I'll write it down somewhere, and then in 6 months, I'm going to bother you. If you're still on my Patreon, unless you've given up by now. I mean, I won't blame you if you do. This is the quality content you pay for. Are you kidding me? This is what you pay for? Fuck no. If you're still here 6 months from now, I will message you and see how your resolution is going. Even if it's a bullshit one, so. Yeah. All right. I will talk to you guys next Wednesday. And yeah, I hope you have an amazing week. Mwah. Love you guys. Bye.